Welcome back to part 2 of the She-Ra franchise flavor series. This is episode 22 of RPG Blueprints, and it's a continuation of me and Saren talking about creating characters in the Cypher system. In this second half, we build Glimmer and Catra. Enjoy the episode. Okay, let's go for Glimmer.
I'm thinking Adept.
Yeah, she's got teleport magic. She's got... Are they laser beams? Is that what they are? Or are they just balls that she throws?
I mean, they kind of remind me of, like Eldritch Blast, but, like... sparkly eldritch blasts. You know, they're like just
celestial blasts.
Yeah,
so okay, we'll look at it.
She's definitely the magic one of the best friends squad.
Yeah,
so I'm seeing Far Step as one of the adept abilities.
Oh, you are right in it. You are right in it.
I'm sorry. We said adept, and I was like, okay. It's very easy to get the first one there.
I'm just gonna get in there. You have an intellect edge of one. That's it. That's their special thing. obviously, intellect over the other two. Okay, so Far Step. You leap through the air and land some distance away. You can jump on, down, or across anywhere you choose within long range if you have a clear and unobstructed path to that location. You land safely. Which obviously you could flavor as actual teleportation instead of just big jump. And it also really works because at low level, i.e. early in the series, she has much more limited teleportation powers.
Yeah, she starts out with at will Misty Step and then evolves to have a long range teleport.
Yeah, so that's perfect. Well, she should probably also have Onslaught, because that's like your basic magic attack.
Yeah,
which she has. I'm thinking magic training, because she does train in magic and like that whole thing. Was that before the series started, or was that only during the series where she actually like trained in magic?
She didn't start training until later on, when Shadow Weaver defected.
Right.
But I think that's kind of... I think it's important to her character. Like, she does get some magic training.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe Push?
I was thinking about that too. Yep.
Because sometimes her energy beams, they don't do like any damage. They just knock someone prone.
Yeah, that's or, like, perfect.
Move them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, magic training, Onslaught, Fire Step, and Push.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, that was easy enough. Let's look at a descriptor. I think Brash also works, but let's try to figure out something different.
Impulsive.
I haven't looked at it, but just from the word, I think that's probably right. Impulsive. You have a hard time tamping down your enthusiasm. Why wait when you could just do it, whatever it is, and get it done? You deal with problems when they arise rather than plan ahead. Putting out the small fires now prevents them from becoming one big fire later. You are the first to take risks, to jump in and lend a hand, to step into dark passages and to find danger. Your impulsiveness likely gets you into trouble. While others might take time to study the items they discover, you use such items without hesitation. After all, the best way to learn what something can do is to use it. When a cautious explorer might look around or check for danger nearby, you have to physically stop yourself from pulling on ahead. Why fuss around when the exciting thing is just ahead? Perfect. I feel like there's a lot of inner party conflict that derives specifically because of Glimmer's impulsiveness. Mm-hmm. Okay, so plus two to speed pool. You're trained in initiative actions. You're trained in speed defense actions. And you'll try anything once or twice. The difficulty of any task that involves patience, willpower, or discipline is increased by one step. Oh, that's funny.
That's very Glimmer.
Yep. Okay, once again, you are nailing it. There is a very specific reason why I brought you on to do this.
Oh, I'm honored. I'm glad.
Okay, so let's get that focus.
Okay, so I have a couple of thoughts.
Please.
So, master spells eventually. I think, because she learns a lot of new spells before the end of the series. But if we want to look a little bit on the darker side of Glimmer, Meets Out Justice is a little... you know, when she becomes queen and she starts making some decisions about how things ought to be.
Oh my god, just looking ahead, tier 3. Punish the guilty. For the next 10 minutes, if you attack someone you have designated as guilty, you inflict 2 additional points of damage. That's so funny. Ooh, I do like that.
Another nice one, Blazes with Radiance.
Ooh, because we don't have anything that's specifically like her sparkle light.
Sparkles.
Ooh, that might be the one.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah. Blazes with Radiance. You have the ability to create and sculpt light. You bend it away from you or gather it to use as a weapon. You might gain your powers from the sun, or you might wield a mysterious artifact that produces light that you can manipulate. Or you might get it from a magical gemstone. regardless, you love the light and curse the darkness. People are often... Whoa, that actually works so well with how, like... Yeah, that... Okay, I love this. Sorry. people are often drawn to those wielding the light because they are heartened by it, as opposed to someone lurking in darkness, or because it is dramatic and impressive. Of course, those who employ the darkness or fear the light despise you. Most people able to command light favor bright colors in their clothing, since those colors reflect light rather than absorb it. Okay, you have a crystal lens. When you shine light through it, the light extends for double the normal distance. What a fun little additional equipment. Radiant abilities. If you possess powers that would normally use force or other energy, they instead use light and heat. For example, if you use ward, light dapples your body and flares when you would be attacked, preventing your enemies from landing a solid blow. And so that's not like a full-on skill. That's just sort of like that extra narrative flavor.
Yeah.
Minor effect suggestion. A flash of light leaves the creature dazzled. The difficulty of defense actions to resist the creature's attacks decreases by one step. Major effect. An intense flash of light leaves the creature blinded for 1 minute. Okay, right. And yeah, to start off at tier one, you got enlightened. You are trained in any perception task that involves sight. Because light.
Light, yep.
Illuminating touch costs one intellect point, but as a as an adept, free for glimmer. You touch an object, and that object sheds light to illuminate everything in short range. The light remains until you use an action to touch the object again. Is that something that she was shown to do? Because I feel like it should be something she's able to
do. I think usually what she does is she just creates a light orb in her hand.
Right.
But, like, touching something to make it a light... Like, it's the difference between, like, dancing lights cantrip and the light... Can't
right.
Shoot. Right. It,
which I feel like she should be able to do both. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Glimmer is an impulsive adept who blazes with radiance.
Yep. That's her.
Nailed it. Okay, and finally, Catra.
I think this will be the hard one.
You specifically wanted to make sure we did Catra.
I know.
Why?
Why? Because I love her.
That's a very valid reason, yeah.
She's so angry and sad, but... Oh. She loves Adora. And then she becomes part of the power of friendship.
It's a beautiful story. You love to see it. So, for Catra, what are we thinking for type? Because I could see her being a few, but I could definitely see her being sort of a twin flame for Adora, also being a warrior.
Because they were trained in the same, the same army. But her style is so different.
Yeah.
A warrior is, it seems very, you know, go in weapons first. She's much more roguish, you know. So
right.
I think explorer is closer.
Well, but the only thing about that is that I feel like fighting is her defining, like, thing.
That's true.
Right?
We definitely, there's this, this system is so, so versatile. We can definitely have a rogue flavored warrior.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Like, even if in all of the base stuffs we don't quite get the essence, we can still pick a flavor that will tie it all together.
We could make her a combat-flavored explorer.
It's true.
So we can take some of the combat abilities and swap them out. Or we could make her a warrior that's got stealth flavoring.
To decide, I'm reading what it says about the role of these different types. Mm. And I think warrior is a better base.
Mm-hmm. And then give her some stealth flavoring.
Yeah.
Which I think I just looked. One of the stealth abilities, which I was kind of putting the cart before the horse a little bit, but opportunist You have an asset on any attack roll you make against a creature that has already been attacked at some point during the round and is within immediate range.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think that's okay. Very funny for her.
Yeah.
So with a warrior, we do have to pick, I think, probably speed over might edge for her.
Yeah.
Probably no need for weapons.
No need for weapons. Yes.
Okay, so I sort of took the lead on those first two, opportunist and no need for weapons. Well, let's look at something that she definitely won't ever need. Probably Overwatch, when you used a ranged weapon to target a limited area. I don't think she's that
I don't know if I've ever seen her use a ranged weapon.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like swipe for Catra.
Yeah, this is a quick, agile melee attack. Your attack inflicts one less point of damage than normal, but dazes your target for a round, during which the difficulty of all tasks it performs is modified by one step to its detriment. Yeah, that seems good. I can imagine her scratching someone's face or something.
Yeah.
And yeah. Then
being off balance for the rest of the encounter.
Perfect.
You know what? I also like control the field.
Nice.
Yeah.
This melee attack inflicts one less point of damage than normal, but regardless of whether you hit the target, you maneuver it to a position you desire within immediate range. Yeah. Good one. So she's got a couple of in-battle control skills. Actually, that was all her just sort of controlling the battle and taking full advantage and taking people down without weapons, which is what she's all about.
That's what she's good at.
Perfect. That was easier than first expected, so nice.
Yeah.
Let's get
it. We just had to commit to something.
Yeah.
As soon as we got there.
Okay, so now, what can we say about Catra? How to describe her?
Oh. Well, there are lots of ways to describe Catra.
Right off the bat, cruel.
Cruel, chaotic.
Driven.
Vicious.
Oh my gosh. Vengeful. Guarded. All good choices.
So many.
The additional equipment for Cruel is you have a valuable memento from the last person you destroyed. That's so messed up.
I also read like through a little bit of Cruel, and that works. I don't want this to be the one we pick, but if it has to be, it will work.
Yeah.
It's just there are so many ways you could describe Catra.
I do like the concept of driven for Catra, but the fact that it gives her you're trained in intellect defense actions, I don't think that works.
Not quite.
Same as guarded. Guarded also gives you training in intellect defense tasks.
Chaotic and stealthy are also ones that work, although we've already included some stealth flavor.
I don't think I have chaotic, so let me just take a look. Why does everything give intellect defense actions?
That is, yeah. I think...
I feel like she is one of the most susceptible to mind control.
That's true. Yeah, she has a weak mind.
Vengeful.
Oh.
The skills you get. The fires of your hatred make you an imposing figure. You're trained in any task that involves intimidation, threats, or inflicting pain through torture. You will follow your enemies to the ends of the earth. You're trained in any task that involves finding and following tracks.
Oh. Okay.
What do you think of that?
Ooh.
What, you also said you were looking at vicious?
Yeah. Vicious is, where did it go?
Oh, it's similar. You're trained in tracking creatures. If a creature has wronged you, the tracking task is eased. Once you begin fighting, you only see red. You inflict 2 additional points of damage with any attack. Once you've been fighting, it's hard for you to stop. In fact, it's a difficulty 2 intellect task to do so. Even if your foe surrenders or you've run out of foes, if the latter occurs and you fail to stop, you attack the nearest ally within short range. That's so funny. I like both of them.
Yeah. Okay. So what are we deciding between? What do we think are the most apt descriptors?
Me, I think vicious, vengeful, and actually stealthy are all really good choices. But I don't know if you were looking at some of the other ones.
Yeah, no, that's what I was looking at. Some of the other ones, I thought in their main descriptor were more apt, but again, you're right about the intellect defense. Catra has a weak mind.
I mean, like, really, if we were doing this, you could like swap it out for something else. Like, there are suggestions in there for how to modify descriptors, but trying to go a little more on book.
We're trying to keep to the rules as written.
Yeah.
I think wouldn't hurt to add more stealthy.
Yeah.
Because that's a good one. Like, that's a big thing for her.
Stepping out of the shadows.
Infiltration, trickery, sneaking around.
Stealthy. You're sneaky, slippery, and fast. These talents help you hide, move quietly, and pull off tricks that require sleight of hand. Most likely, you're wiry and small. However, you're not much of a sprinter. You're more dexterous than fleet of foot. +2 to speed pool. You're trained in all stealth tasks. You're trained in all interactions involving lies or trickery. You're trained in all special abilities involving illusions or trickery. Inability. You're sneaky but not fast. The difficulty of all movement-related tasks is 1 step higher for you. Why do you do this game? You make it so perfect, and then you give one little wrench. Because that doesn't describe Catra. She doesn't have a problem moving.
No, she is fast. That. Like, she's...
She's sneaky and fast.
Sneaky and fast.
Okay, like... I know what we just said, but we just settled on stealthy, and I want to change this inability to being like inability with positive social interactions.
Oh my god. Yeah, honestly.
Because I don't think she ever successfully had a good social interaction.
No, certainly not through her own merit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so screw what we literally just said a minute ago, because we're gonna change that, and making this change actually sort of puts more of Catra's character into this build anyways, so yeah. It kind of works out. Okay, we got a stealthy warrior, and let's figure out what she does. Where's, like, takes candy from babies?
There is scavenges.
Oh my god. Now I need, like, a post-apocalypse setting where someone takes candy from a baby and that's what their defense is. And it's like, I'm scavenging. It's fine.
It's normal. It's them or me. I care more about me.
Screw the babies. I mean, is it too much to put moves like a cat? I feel like if anything completely hits the nail on the head, she does move like a cat.
Oh, and it gives her balance, which is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
That might be it, actually.
I think that just makes sense. Oh, whoa. That's cool. Minor effect suggestion for this is you restore 2 points to your speed pool. As a GM, I never actually thought about how, like, restoring a point or two could be a minor effect. That's cool. Okay, moves like a cat. You are extremely dexterous. Your speed and agility make you almost a thing of wonder. Your body is lithe, flexible, and graceful. Your training, or perhaps a bit of magic or technology, or the fact that you're a cat person, allows you to move quickly and smoothly, land safely when you fall, and avoid danger. You likely wear tight clothing that doesn't hinder you as you move. Likewise, you probably don't allow yourself to be overburdened by a lot of equipment. You'll wear armor only if it doesn't slow you down. Yeah, so I said the minor effect, restoring speed pool. Major effect suggestion, you can take a second action this round. And at tier 1, you've got reflexes, 3 additional points to your speed pool, and balance. You're trained in balancing. You get some more, like, in-depth stuff later. At tier 4, you get quick strike and stuff like that. But, I think that's pretty good for now.
Right. Feels good.
Okay, so Catra is a stealthy warrior who moves like a cat. It almost feels like a palindrome saying that. Cool. Adora is a brash warrior who defends the weak. Bo is a kind explorer who carries a quiver. Glimmer is an impulsive adept who blazes with radiance. Catra is a stealthy warrior who moves like a cat. I think
that
we nailed it.
Right. That feels good. All right.
Good. Awesome. So I think it's really funny because we made 4 characters in, this total recording is 2 hours. The podcast episode is not going to be 2 hours long, but it took, that first series with Elizabeth and I, it took us, I think, a total of 6 hours to create 2 characters. So that's just a fun little thing. Well, we had like a specific, like we had a character concept that we were putting into this. So that makes it a little bit easier, but also, that's just the system, the cipher system in general, there's a lot less to it. Like, obviously we didn't go through and pick out our equipment, but that's really like picking out the equipment and answering the questions that come with the descriptor and focus of like how your party knows each other and stuff like that. Like those little bits, like those were the only things we didn't do. So yeah.
Yeah. Character creation is very streamlined for this system.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like you have, well, you do, you just have way more options at every step, because like choosing a type doesn't lock you out from a descriptor, doesn't lock you out from a focus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any last thoughts on either Ashira or the cipher system?
I think the cipher system is really good for creating characters like the Ashira characters. Because even as we were going through and doing these specific four, I was like, oh, that one's perfect for Entrapta. That one's perfect for Perfuma. That, like, it's... We could create the entire cast, I think, using just this system without bending too many like rules beyond just like, oh, this one's slightly more accurate than that.
Yeah. Well, good. And then you see exactly what I saw in it. Like, I think it was probably like a year of me being like, hey, it would be cool to do Ashira in in Cipher System before we actually got around to playing it. So I'm glad that when it's all said and done, you're like, yeah, no, this works. I think like any of the modern cartoons like Adventure Time or like maybe even Steven Universe, like anything where you have characters who have very defined like skill sets and personalities, I think Cypher does a good job to emulate that.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. It's also like, it's just so much less locked in than 5th edition.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5th edition, if you want to, if there's something that isn't in the base class or background or whatever, you basically, you have to multi-class.
Right.
So you have to, but for this, you literally just have to say, I don't want this skill, I want this skill instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy as just swapping one thing out for another.
Or at the most, you're adding flavor.
Flavor, yeah.
Which isn't that complicated. And even on base, like obviously D&D is like doing something specific, and Cypher was designed specifically to be a generic system. So obviously it's a little bit apples and oranges here. But like, yeah, I think that is what it is that this is designed to be a generic system. So you can fit pretty much any setting that you want to put in. And actually the first time that I played, I don't remember what book series it was, but the first time that I played Cypher System, the GM was a big fan of this one book series. And so that's what we were playing in. We were playing in this, like sci-fi futuristic setting of like the real world. So I think it's really interesting, the way that they were able to take, I think they had some like, you know, like not fantasy sci-fi races and stuff that they sort of translated into the rules. Yeah. So I would do this again with another series, like in a heartbeat. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm even thinking something like, generic magical school. This would be fun to create a bunch of like fantasy students in a magical high school or whatever.
Yeah, and that's really good because you can add magic flavor to any class or give anyone the focus cast spells or something like that. So like there's so many ways to make sure that nobody's left out and everyone gets to sort of play what they want to play. Nice. Well, thanks for being on here and helping me create these characters. You were 100% the person to come to for this.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. God, never been on a podcast before.
Well, first time for everything. I hope it isn't going to be the last. I hope I haven't made you scared of doing it again. I hope this was fun.
No, this was fun. I would gladly do it again.
Excellent. Yeah, so thanks again for being here. Thanks to everyone who is listening. And I hope you look forward to the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, this is staying in now. Bye. No. Before you go, I'd like to thank James Roach for the awesome job on the podcast themes. You can check out what he's up to by following him on Twitter at Hamesatron. You can follow RPG Blueprints at RPGBP on Twitter. I'd also like to thank you for listening, and I hope you take a spark of inspiration from this episode and use it in your own creation.